Hello, and welcome to Life Beyond the Numbers, the podcast for people who are curious about how to have a more fulfilling work life. We live in a world largely driven by numbers, logic, and reason. But how we feel at work and about our work impacts us, our organizations, and society. There is a relationship between the numbers of our organizations and the life beyond the numbers. I'm Susan Mikhrylon, your host. I've lived and worked in many countries. I've met people who love what they do and people who don't, people who bring their full selves to work and people who won't. But one thing that I've learned that is common to us all is that we are all unique and have unique experiences. And it's helpful to know that there are others who think like we do, or have had struggles too, or have gone where we want to go, or can show us things we didn't know. So join me and my guests as we place a lens on the human side of work life by sharing insights, stories, and strategies to inspire you to let your uniqueness shine. Hello and welcome to episode 173 of Life Beyond the Numbers. And this episode is going out on Saturday, April 27th, 2024. It's the last weekend in April. Amazing. And there is a lot happening in May. So I think I'm only going to release two podcast episodes next month. One on Saturday, May 11th, and Saturday, May 25th. This will give you a chance to catch up if you haven't listened to everything, or go back and re-listen to some episode you enjoyed, or maybe you want to go and explore some other podcasts out in that vast universe of podcasts. But this weekend, this last weekend in April, is one I've been waiting for a couple of reasons. The first being that my brother and sister are both coming to visit for the weekend, and I am really excited by that. We don't spend a lot of time together, as we all live in different places, and we rarely get to spend time alone together, just us three. So I imagine there'll be lots of nostalgia, laughter, fun, chats, and more. I was kind of hoping by the end of April that the weather would be better, like warmer than it is here now. I mean, it's actually kind of more like October or November than April, apart from having more daylight, of course, which is always welcome. But we'll just make the best of it. And they're not visiting for the weather, are they? And the other reason I've been waiting for this weekend, the last weekend in April, is because my book comes out in May. And it's almost May. Amazing. I never thought this day would come in one way, and in another way, like, wow, it's here. And the book, my book, actually arrived last weekend. And some of you may have seen my unboxing video on some social media channel or other. If not, I'll leave a link in the show notes and you can have a look after this. But actually, when I posted it on LinkedIn, I wrote a couple of lines to go with it. Not that I needed any words to accompany this video. However, I'll read them out to you. I knew what was inside, my excitement impossible to hide. First glance at that front cover, I'd eyes for no other. When I held it to the light, my heart swelled with delight, relief, joy, euphoria and pleasure, anticipating who'd read it at their leisure. In just 3 weeks, you can have a look inside your own copy of my book. If it isn't in a store near you, don't panic. It's available online too. And if you haven't seen the video, spoiler alert coming up, but my parents told me that I looked like my 5-year-old niece opening her presents on Christmas morning. And I did have the pleasure of witnessing that event last Christmas morning. And I think they're probably right. My sister also said, "I've never seen that look in your eyes before. Childlike excitement." I mean, she never really knew me as a child, because I'm quite a bit older than her. Well, 9 years older than her. But I guess it's more likely that look or those feelings aren't experienced all that often. And certainly not witnessed by either of my siblings or my parents. But I can tell you that I won't forget that unboxing experience ever. It was just amazing, incredible. Yeah, it really was. And this week I began sending copies to people who have either contributed to the book in some way, like as in they were in it or they wrote an endorsement. And it was really quite surreal sending the book off out into the world. The finished product. That is what people see. The end result. That's what's visible to the world. The finished article or book in my case. And most of us can imagine that a lot of effort goes into writing the book. That it's work, hard work, blood, sweat and tears. I mean, we can picture someone sitting at a desk, burning the midnight oil, writing, editing, researching, reading, rewriting. This work is easy for us to get our heads around. It's tangible. It's the outer work, the work that is exposed to the world when you lay bare your words on the page. What remains less visible, or perhaps even invisible, is the inner work that's involved in writing. And this is the work that caught me by surprise. The work that at times left me feeling paralyzed almost, or stuck, or lost. There were times I really doubted my ability. I chastised myself for a lack of progress. I felt a sense of dread that I'd never finish. And even if I did, no one would read it, so what was the point? I felt overwhelm. I mean, all the kind of things in one way you would expect to feel when you're taking something on that feels huge. But now that I have some distance from it all, there are a couple of things that really stand out for me. And I feel better able to speak about them and share. And I'm doing this in case it might be helpful to any of you, or indeed to someone you know. And if there is somebody who you think might benefit from this episode, do share it with them. Early on in the writing process, my partner would ask me most evenings if I was pleased with the progress I made that day. This question was like a dagger piercing my very core and almost felt accusatory to me, as if he knew I hadn't made any progress or the progress I wanted to, and he was rubbing it in. Now, the question itself was perfectly rational and caring and asked with love. It was my response that was irrational. And I needed to figure out why. Clearly, I couldn't spend my days doing work that I wasn't satisfied with and then face a Spanish Inquisition later. So I began to ask myself what was activating this reaction in me. And that made me question why I wasn't happy with the progress I was making. Were my standards too high? Was I setting unachievable targets for myself? Was I just a perfectionist? Was I ever happy with anything I did? I hit the nail on the head there with that last one. And I began to realise that throughout my life, I rarely acknowledged the work or effort that I put in, and instead believed I could have done more, better, faster. So I decided that I needed to change this narrative. And to do that, I began to track my progress in a more rational, systemized, evidence-based way. So at the end of every writing session, whether that was an hour or a day, I would ask myself, what did I accomplish today? And then I would write a list or write a paragraph. And this prompt allowed me to see what I was doing every day. And it helped me to get into the habit of acknowledging my progress, acknowledging what I had accomplished that day. And then I'd also ask myself, did I struggle anywhere? If so, how did I resolve it? Did anything surprise me? And what, if anything, distracted me? Again, this helped me to see if there was a particular time of the day that I didn't work well, or if I found one piece of the book more challenging to write about. And it allowed me to have some compassion towards myself and actually acknowledge again that it was all part of the writing process. And the other thing that I did was I told my partner about the reaction I was feeling when he asked me that perfectly caring and rational question every evening. He was stunned, as you can imagine. I told him to keep asking me, and that actually it was up to me to be able to answer the question he intended, like a mature adult. And so he did. And I got better at answering that question. Because practice really does help. The second thing was sharing the manuscript. The whole purpose of writing a book, obviously, is to share it. But sharing the manuscript, in particular with the publisher and endorsers, proved, to be quite the challenge. I mean, the first draft of the manuscript was a work in progress, and it was a rough draft. You're encouraged to get everything out of your head and onto a page. And the manuscript I submitted, some parts of chapters were just bullet points and others were just ramblings or rants or a stream of consciousness. And after submitting that first draft, I waited about 3 weeks until I got it back. And I was dreading it. I really was, getting worse every day that passed by. And when my report arrived, I actually just felt sick. I didn't want to open it. And I had convinced myself that the publisher would tell me that they wouldn't publish it at all. Of course, none of this was based on anything factual. Just my imagination and some of those voices in my head trying to protect me, but using an outdated methodology or approach. And the development editor's report blew me away. I think it may actually have been the most seen and heard that I'd ever felt in my life. I mean, even just talking about it now makes my eyes well up in appreciation. And I feel myself softening into what was hard. Their words gave me courage. Courage to continue, courage to rewrite. And their words also brought me solace. And each time going forward that I faltered, I went back to their words. Then came the day that I had to submit the final manuscript. Oh, what a crazy week that was. And I flew out to South Africa the following day, which actually was brilliant because everything just faded into the background and the holiday became the important thing. And not long after returning from South Africa, I got the copy editor's feedback. And again, this was something that I had worked myself up into stress about. There's a pattern here, right? And actually, I look back on my life and I've always felt like that. It's like getting exam results. Doing the exam was okay and the study and all of that. But the waiting and then the night before the results or the morning of just floored me always. And I guess this felt like doing an exam in some way. Anyway, I got the results and not the results, I didn't. I got their report and it took me an hour to clear all the comments. When I'd finished, one of these wonderful voices in my head volunteered. It must have been so bad that they couldn't even rescue it. Wow. Next, I sent the manuscript out to people to endorse it. And I sent it out to them over the Christmas holidays, pre-Christmas, but they had until January 2nd to send it back to me. I felt like Scrooge, to be fair. And as the endorsements began to roll in January, I was blown away. A couple of them did come in later than requested. And again, I was jumping to inaccurate and unhelpful assumptions, like they must have hated it and can't even tell me, or there's just no way they're going to want their name associated with this. I sent the book to 21 people who had all agreed to write an endorsement for me, and 21 of them returned endorsements. Beautiful endorsements, each and every one. Now, you might call what I was going through imposter syndrome or a lack of self-belief or self-confidence or another term. I suppose I think it's just life. I guess many of us have these internal battles on a daily, hourly, minute by minute basis. And it's only when we become conscious of them, this internal tension within ourselves, that we can do something about it. These voices or images or thoughts started out life in a positive way. Their intention was pure, something happened to us at a younger age, and we didn't know how to cope with it at the time, and instead internalized a feeling of unworthiness or incompetence or something like that, not being good enough, simply because we weren't equipped to process what was happening at the time. And these thoughts or voices or images are trying to protect us, to keep us safe, to keep us from suffering a similar fate to what we went through that one time or those times. It's kind of admirable when you think about it. Our own bodyguards as such. However, what they don't realize is that their job here is done. They can retire, rest, rejoice. They can, and they will, actually. But what I've learned is, I was going to say the funny thing, I don't know if it is that funny, maybe it is that often there's another one waiting to take their place. And so the inner work is always a work in progress. Invisible, intangible, never to be ignored. I mentioned earlier that when I did falter, I went back to the words of the development editor. And I also developed other ways of overcoming the procrastination, the fear, the apprehension, the lack of self-belief, whatever else you want to call it. Sometimes it was necessary, procrastination or any of those feelings. They were part of the process. I either needed a break, some rest, some fresh air, a change of scene, to take some deep breaths, whatever. And it was recognizing those times that actually all that was really needed here was to step away. I also learned that commitment and momentum are powerful forces. I had made a commitment to write that book, and that kept me focused and moving forward. Even if at times I didn't feel I was making progress, I always had that end date in mind. And when momentum really comes into play, so much of the background noise just fades further into the background. And then momentum builds momentum. You become unstoppable, mostly. And the more I wrote, the more I wrote. The more the thoughts came, the more connections that were made, the more ideas that sprung up, relevant ideas, the more laser focused, so stuff that was irrelevant could be ignored, and stuff that was relevant integrated. And the other thing, pretty simple, and one that we often forget to do, is to ask for help. I got better at that. And honestly, I feel so lucky to have so many amazing people in my life. And I pretty much always knew who to go to at the right time. There was always like the best person for the job at hand. And some of these people were authors and poets. For example, at times I would read David White's essay from Consolations on courage. And his poem, Start Close In, became a frequent writing mantra for me. Because it was always about taking the next step. Sure, keep the big picture in mind, but progress is made in little steps step by step, taking the next step. At times, I also felt the presence and comfort of those people who are no longer with us, like my grandmother, my Uncle Tom, my sister Aoife, and my school friend Billy. Death proved to be an inspiration, especially when some of those people had died before their time, as we'd say. I also played with or experimented with rituals, practices, and habits, and found routines that really worked or worked better than others. One of them was working to my circadian rhythm. I mean, that was a game changer and kept the energy flowing. And I often listened to classical music or music for creativity, just with ear pods in, very low, but always helped me get in flow. Looking back now, I can honestly say that the good days outweighed the bad. Those paralyzing thoughts and fears were usually fleeting. Didn't make them any less real. I still had to deal with them. And at the time, they often felt unsurmountable. But it's just my thoughts. We never need to be afraid of ourselves. My intention for writing this book was pure, and that won out every time. Sometimes I figured that out alone, and other times I got help. So that was a glimpse into the writing practice, or the practice of writing. And holding that book in my hand at the weekend really made it all worthwhile, every last second. And I would recommend writing a book to anyone. I really would. We are all capable of so much more than we give ourselves credit for. And it turns out the writing is the easy part. Well, it becomes the easier part, at least. Your own inner world, your own tensions, and facing yourself is more challenging, but massively rewarding and expansive. Leading Beyond the Numbers, How Accounting for Emotions Tips the Balance at Work, will be published by Practical Inspiration Publishing on May 14th, 2024. Until next time, I'm wishing you a really, really great weekend, week, day, whatever, and all the best for the month of May. Ciao. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the paths we traversed on today's episode. If something rang true for you, be sure to let me know. Or maybe you can share this with someone in your life who would benefit from listening too. And if you enjoy helping others, I'd be so grateful if you would leave a review, so that people who might also be curious about their own life beyond the numbers can discover this podcast too.